This should be the first thing that you run to when you get attacked with something, is communion. This is God's medicine for us. You know, Paul said that the only reason Christians are sickly and direly among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So we can expect that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect health and wholeness in our bodies. Jesus said, in this world, there will be tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It never ceases to amaze me when Christians are shocked because they got attacked. Well, do you think the devil is just going to sit in his easy chair and let you wander through this life with little slippers on and nothing going to happen? Get a grip. He is going to attack, but he's defeated. Amen? This is one of our weapons, the body of Christ. Was absolutely sinless. And this bread is made without yeast. Jesus was beaten for us. And this bread has been pounded flat. And in this bread there are stripes. And it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus shed his blood, we got redemption in some area. His body was broken for us. And if you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned, that means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. That judgment that was meant for us. See, you've already been judged in the body of Christ. And you've been justified freely by his grace when God raised him back to life. That means the full penalty of your sins have been taken care of on that cross. Amen? We're taking this for our healing, and we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood on that cross. And that blood washed away our sins. All of them. And this blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of this blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now we can go boldly into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, and receive mercy and grace in time of need. We thank you for this. All right. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can learn of Jesus. And we can grow in this world of faith the way you designed us to. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Now look at, you know, we know that to seek righteousness means to accept righteousness that we've been made. The righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that that's what happened. When you got born again, you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't earn it. It's a gift from God because of the blood of Jesus. Now, right here in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, the kingdom of God It is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there's the kingdom of God. We need to be seeking righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know something, when you find out that what Jesus did on the cross was so much more than what Adam did in the garden, that'll cause peace to flow into your mind. That the shed blood of Jesus took care of what was wrong between you and God. That's what righteousness means. You're in right standing with God. Amen? You weren't in right standing with God until you got born again. But now you're in right standing with Him. Now, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Now that's good news. You know, how many times have you caught yourself saying, "I wish I had a powerful intercessor in my life"? You do. You have the most powerful intercessor that ever lived. The best word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus is your intercessor. See, too many times people think that Satan can come in there to the throne room of God and accuse the brethren. Satan cannot come before God to accuse you. The cross made a difference. You have to understand. Whenever you read something, you have to discern what side of the cross this was on. Now, there are people running around this world that are just tormented in their minds because they think that Satan can go to the throne room of God and accuse them. Well, they have a Bible for it. Look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now Job was an interesting character. He had a covenant with God. He had a covenant with God. Now here verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Why in the world was Satan in that place, in there in the first place? Why was he at the throne room of God, even having a conversation with him? You have to go to the beginning to find out what's wrong in a lot of things. Remember, in the garden, God said, "Let us create man in our own image, And he went ahead and did that and blessed him. And he gave him dominion over this earth. And he said, don't eat of that tree. Don't do that. But the serpent beguiled Eve. See, Eve was beguiled, but Adam sinned. Adam, he didn't take up his place as the husband of the family. He could have told her, he said, you go sit down over here where it's safe. But he didn't do that. He melted and he followed his wife into this trap. Adam had authority. He knew better. She was beguiled, but Adam sinned. But the minute that Adam sinned, that very minute, he turned that blessing, he turned everything over to Satan. He said, there you go. So, that's why Adam could come into the presence of God. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. The devil said, we'll start at 5. It said, the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Adam delivered all authority over to Satan. That's why it was a true temptation to Jesus. He said, I'll give you all authority over all this, bow your knee to me. That's what Jesus came down to take this thing back. You can imagine there must have been a big spiritual pull on him at that moment. He came to take this thing back from Satan and give it back to Adam. You know? Which is what he did. But too many religious folks don't understand this. And you hear it in their conversations. Preachers are just as guilty as the congregation. Because they run around and they say that God is sovereign. He is sovereign. But what they're doing is when something happens, they'll say that God is sovereign, they're casting the blame over onto God. You know, God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he gave you dominion over this earth. That's why it's so important for the church to quit trying to be so politically correct and quit trying to be so passive and submissive and stand up. Get a copy of that Constitution and that Bible and you go down to your local courthouse and you tell them rats when they're wrong. And you tell them how it's going to be. That is your, not only your Christian duty, but it is your American duty. The church has been sitting around for years wondering why somebody doesn't do something. Well, they did something. And it was wrong. Not everybody's called to go to Washington or Austin, but you do have a local government. And you do have the responsibility to go stand up to wrong when it shows its head. Amen? You have dominion on this earth, but you have to exert it. You have the authority, but you have to operate in it. Amen? That is your God-given responsibility. Now, Adam let Satan into the throne room of God. He took his place, basically. You know, when Adam sinned, he just swapped He just swapped. He took everything he had and gave it to the devil. And the devil took everything he had and gave it to us. You know, that's where the curse come from. The devil has never, ever, ever been able to create anything. He's never been able to create anything. He's only been able to counterfeit and twist. He took the blessing and twisted it and made it a curse. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The cross and the blood made all the difference. When Jesus went into the Holy of Holies and purified that place with his blood, that ended the devil's presence there. He's never, ever been in that place again. And he never will be in that place again. So you can stand strong. No matter what the devil accuses you of, your intercessor, Jesus, your high priest, is much more. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8 again, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So there's our intercessor. Jesus, our intercessor. So, as an example, in the Old Testament, I always tell you, when you go in there looking around in the Old Testament, look for types and shadows of Jesus. And what these sacrifices, how these sacrifices worked. See, when they take a sacrifice, a guy would take a sacrifice up to the high priest. And the high priest would examine this sacrifice and go ahead and sacrifice it and put it on the altar. Here's the thing you need to understand, is that God looked at the sacrifice and not the man. You have confidence knowing this, that Jesus, our sacrifice, is who God sees. When he sees you, he's not looking at you. He's looking at you through the veil of Jesus. He sees the perfect sacrifice that Jesus did on that cross. And now, when you lift your prayers up to Jesus, they had these birds, these pigeons, those are pigeons, and they'd take the feathers off. That's significant of taking our flesh off. When we pray, the high priest will defeather our prayers, deflesh them. They'll go to the Father pure. That's our intercessor, Jesus. Now go back to Job chapter 9, verse 33. See, Job, he knew he was in trouble. You know, he had had a lot of stuff going on. Man, he lost his family. Chapter 9, verse 33 says, neither is there any day of man betwixt us that might lay his hands upon us both. Job was looking for somebody that would pray for him. His friends were telling him lies about God. Job was looking for somebody that would just lay hands on him and pray for him and relieve that misery he was in. He needed an intercessor. He wanted an intercessor. We have an intercessor. Amen? One thing you can always take comfort in, sometimes it may feel like the whole world is against you. But you need to understand that when you get with the Word, there's always going to be three that will agree with you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They will always come into agreement with the Word. And Jesus, your high priest, will get into high gear, amen, in your defense. The devil can't win. He can't. The Bible tells us he's declining to an end. The world is running around saying that the dark's just getting darker and the evil's getting worse. But the Bible says that the devil is declining to an end. He is going to come to an end. The light is going to get lighter and brighter, and it's going to expand more and more. The darkness cannot overtake the light. Yeah? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. You can always have confidence knowing that Jesus is always going to be there with you in your prayers. And that he's going to take your prayers as your high priest and make them perfect and present them to the Father. That will give you boldness. That will give you peace. Remember? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we have one deception. That's fear. That's what Satan uses. Fear. He'll do anything in the world to try to get you off the Word of God. Did you know that pretty much every fear known to mankind is rooted in the fear of death? Death has always been a mystery to man because we were not created to die. We were supposed to live forever. Death didn't come about until Adam ate of that fruit. If he would have never ate of that fruit, death would have not been heard of. That's why it's such a mystery to man. But the Bible tells us that There is no sting in death for Christians. We've already done all the dying we're going to do. Now we're alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You're going to change addresses someday. But you're not going to die. Not you. Your body may perish, but your spirit will not die. The Bible tells us to fear not. Fear not. The way to take courage and have an anchor for your soul is to know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Make that a part of your heart. He's always there for you. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Too many people think that because they make a mistake, that they've been separated from God. That could not be farther from the truth. 1 John 1:7 tells us that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. You know that you've been washed in the blood. But this is a continual cleansing. This is a 24/7 day a week, 365 days a year. Cleansing. This blood of Jesus is a waterfall of forgiveness. Sometimes people have a hard time accepting this. They say, well, all my sins were forgiven when I got born again. But now these new ones, I got to deal with somehow, and I got to pay penance for somehow, and I got to ask forgiveness for somehow, and blah, 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 just knock it off. All sins were forgiven. All your past, present, and future sins were forgiven. How can I say your future sins were forgiven? Well, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus got on there, every sin you ever committed was a future sin. Every single one of them. The blood of Jesus took care of it. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what God wants you to have, and this will help you to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, is to have a righteousness conscience. There's people running around with sin consciousness, and they have a hard time having any victory in their life. They're worried, did I make a mistake here? Did I make a mistake there? Did I ask God to forgive me for this? Did I ask God to forgive me for that? You know something about the Ten Commandments? God kept them in the Ark of the Covenant, covered by the mercy seat, out of the sight of the people. Because He didn't want them to have a sin consciousness. Now the church, the modern church in all its wisdom, has plastered them Ten Commandments all over the place. And then they wonder why people have a hard time. Why don't you plaster 10 things Jesus did on that cross, in His death, burial, and resurrection, put 10 things He did by His grace up there and watch people grow, get set free. Amen? You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you have a righteousness conscience, you'll have love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And confidence before God. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you have done for us. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus did. Everything that He did in His death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you that we've been justified freely by your grace. And now is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the sons of God, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God and live in love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here. And we have eggs back here if you need some fresh eggs.